Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today Masechus Rosh Hashanah, Daf Dal, the first parak, Arba Rosh Hashanim. This Masechta has generously been sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. So the Fitabs are going to focus on number one. Rav Kahana objected to Rabbi Yitzchak's contention that Dari Veish soured by the time of Ezra's journey, for it's written in a letter that he sent with Ezra to give to the governors of Yehuda that the Jews should be given whatever animals they require for offerings, as well as wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the specifications of the Kohanim, and they should be supplied daily without fail. So we see from here that Dariavish was righteous at the time of Ezra's departure. Rabbi Yitzchak answered that from this very passage, we can see that he acted purely for selfish motives, rather than the sake of heaven. For Dariavish says, quote, so that they may offer pleasing offerings to God of heaven, and pray for the lives of the king and his children. Now, the Gemara questions if this is problematic, for it was taught in a brisa concerning one who says, I donate the cell to tzedakah so that my son shall live in the schutz of the mitzvah, or b'shul she'ezkebel l'chayim haba, so that I should have a share in olam haba, har zed tzadik gamar, this person is a complete tzadik. So why should Darya Vesh be considered self-serving? The Gemara answers that this is not a difficulty. Kam b'Yisrael, kan bo ovdei kochavim. Here, the brisa deals with the Jew, while here, in the case of Darya Vesh, we're dealing with idolaters. Rashi explains that a Jew's intent is mainly for the sake of heaven, and he'll not feel cheated if the mitzvah doesn't benefit him. A non-Jew's main intent is to benefit himself, and he will regret giving the tzedakah if it brings him no personal gain. Point number two, the Gemara brings another source for Yitzchak's contention that Dariavesh soured, for it's written in Dariavesh's instructions for the construction of the temple, three rows of marble and a row of new wood, with the expenses provided by the royal palace. Now, why did he do it this way, with rows of wood between the marble? Sabri, imardu b'yudai ikolai benura. Because he reasoned, if the Jews rebel against me, I'll burn the temple in fire. He therefore needed to assure that it would be flammable. We see then that he soured. When the Gemara asks if this is problematic, since Shlomo Melech seemed to do the same thing, it gives three answers. Shlomo made the wooden part on top, while Dariavesh made it on the bottom so that burning the wood would topple the whole structure. Furthermore, Shlomo recessed the wooden part in the building, whereas Dariavesh did not. And thirdly, Shlomo plastered it with lime, whereas Dariavesh did not. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that Nisan is also the Rosh Hashanah of the Regalim, the festivals, and the Gemara explains the legal significance. Nafkamino and Nodir lemekim alei b'bal ta'achir. The Nafkamino relates to one who made a vow with respect to subjecting him to the losaseh of do not delay. One who voluntarily vowed to bring an offering is prohibited to delay fulfillment of his vow beyond a certain period. The Tanna of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, for it was taught in Braisa regarding when one has transgressed Baal Ta'achir. The Tanna Kama holds that he's transgressed as soon as he lets three Chagim pass without paying his pledge. Rabbi Shimon says, Shalosh Ragon Kasibim Chagam Matzos Techila. The three Chagim must pass in sequence with Pesach first. The Gemara brings three more opinions. Rabbi Meir holds, Kevin Sha'avra Alen Regal Echad over Baal Ta'achir. As soon as one Chag passes, he has transgressed Baal Ta'achir. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Kevin Sha'avra Alen Shnei Regalim. As soon as two of the regalim pass. And Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon says, Kevin Sha'avalen Chagasukos, as soon as the festival Sukkos passes. The Gemara will identify the source for each position. So once again, the three points are, number one, Rav Kahana objected to Rabbi Yitzchak's contention that Dariavesh soured by the time of Ezra's journey, for it's written in a letter that was sent with Ezra to give to the governors of Yehuda that the Jews should be given whatever animals they require for offerings, as well as wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the specifications of the Kohanim, and they should be supplied daily without fail. We see from here that Dariavesh was righteous at the time of Ezra's departure. Rabbi Yitzchak answered that from this very passage, we can see that he acted purely for selfish motives rather than the sake of heavens. For Dariavesh says, quote, so that they may offer pleasing offerings to God of heaven, matzon chai malka benoy, and pray for the lives of the king and his children. Now, the Gemara questions if this is problematic, for it was taught in a brisa concerning one who says, I donate the cell to tzedakah, so that my son shall live in the schus of the mitzvah, or b'shvil she'ezkebel chayom haba, so that I should have a share in olam haba, har zed tzadik gamar, this person is a complete tzadik. So why should Dariavesh be considered self-serving? The Gemara answers that this is not a difficulty. Kam b'Yisrael, kan bo ovdei kochavim. Here, the brisa deals with a Jew, while here, in the case of Dariavesh, we're dealing with idolaters. Rashi explains that a Jew's intent is mainly for the sake of heaven, and he won't feel cheated if the mitzvah doesn't benefit him. A non-Jew's main intent is to benefit himself, and he will regret giving the tzedakah if it brings him no personal gain. Point number two, the Gemara brings another source for Yitzchak's contention that Dariavesh soured, for it's written in Dariavesh's instructions of the construction of the temple, three rows of marble and a row of new wood, with the expenses provided by the royal palace. Now, why did he do it this way, with rows of wood between the marble? Sabri imardu b'yudai ikolai benura, because he reasoned, if the Jews rebel against me, I'll burn the temple in fire. He therefore needed to assure that it would be flammable. We see then that he soured. When the Gemara asks if this is problematic, since Shlomo Melech seemed to do the same thing, it gives three answers. Shlomo made the wooden part on top, while Daryavesh made it on the bottom so that burning the wood would topple the whole structure. Furthermore, Shlomo recessed the wooden part in the building, whereas Daryavesh did not. And thirdly, Shlomo plastered it with lime, whereas Daryavesh did not. And point number three, the Mishnah say that Nisan is also the Rosh Hashanah for the Regalim, the festivals. And the Gemara explains the legal significance. Nafkamina nodu l'mekam alei b'bal ta'akher. The Nafkamina relates to one who made a vow with respect to subjecting him to the losaseh of do not delay. One who voluntarily vowed to bring an offering is prohibited to delay fulfillment of his vow beyond a certain period. The Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, for it was taught in a Braisa regarding when one has transgressed Bal Ta'akir. The Tana Kama holds that he's transgressed as soon as he lets three Chagim pass without paying his pledge. Rabbi Shimon says, Shosh Ragon Kesidron, V'chagamatzos Techila. The three Chagim must pass in sequence with Pesach first. The Gemara brings three more opinions. Rabbi Meir holds, Kevin Sha'arbal En Regal Echod, over b'bal ta'acher. As soon as one chag passes, he has transgressed b'bal ta'acher. Rabbi Yez ben Yaakov says, Kevin sha'avol en shnei regalim, as soon as two of the regalim pass. And Rabbi Yez ben Rabbi Shimon says, Kevin sha'avol en chag sukkos, as soon as the festival of sukkos passes. The Gemara will identify the source for each position. All right, so now we go to our simmer daf dalet, and our standard simmon is a door, a delet, a door. So here goes. The door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble, whereas the exit door next to it had a Yom Tov calendar posted on it, reminding members not to transgress the losaseh of Bal Ta'acher. Once again, it's slow motion. Once again, it's slow motion. The door, that must be learned off Dalet, door. The door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, which reminds us Rav Kahana objected to Rabbi Yitzchak's contention that Daryavesh soured by the time of Ezra's journey, for it's written in a letter that he sent with Ezra to give the governors of Yehuda that the Jews should be given whatever animals as offerings and supplies they needed daily without fail. Rabbi Yitzchak answered that from this very passage we can see that he acted purely for selfish motives rather than the sake of heaven. For Daryavesh says, so they may offer pleasing offerings to the God of heaven and pray for the lives of the king and his children. The more questions of this is problematic, for it's taught in a Braisa concerning one who says, I donate this el to tzedakah, so that my son shall live in this chus of the mitzvah, or that I should have a share in Olam Haba, harzat tzadik gamur. This person is a complete tzadik. So why should Daryavesh be considered self-serving? The Gemara answers that this is not a difficulty, kan b'Yisrael, kan b'Ovdei Kochavim here. The Braisa deals with the Jew, while here, in the case of Daryavesh, we're dealing with idolater. So the door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble. Which reminds the Gemara brings three differences between how Shlomo HaMelech and Daryavesh built the temple with rows of wood between rows of marble, which demonstrate how Daryavesh had soured. So the door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble. Whereas the exit door next to it had a Yom Tov calendar posted on it, reminding members not to transgress the losaseh of Bal Ta'acher. Which reminds the Mishnah that Nisan is also the Rosh Hashanah for the Regalim. And the Gemara explains the legal significance. Nafkamina l'nodu l'mekam alei b'Bal Ta'acher. The Nafkamina relates to one who made a vow with respect to subjugating him to the losaseh of do not delay. One who voluntarily vowed to bring an offering is prohibited to delay fulfillment of his vow beyond a certain period. The Gemara brings a five-way machlokas regarding when one transgresses Bal Ta'acher. Our mission is like Rabbi Shimon, who holds Shosh Ragam Kesidron V'Chagam Matzos Techila. The three Chagim must pass in sequence with Pesach first. So once again, the door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble, whereas the exit door next to it had a Yom Tov calendar posted on it, reminding members not to transgress the losaseh of Bal Ta'acher. All right, now it's time for a four blah back Chazara. Daf Lamentes. The Simmer Daf Lamentes is a letter, and we use a mailman. So here goes. The mailman. That must be one Daf Lamentes, letter. The mailman carrying a special delivery of flames beyond the Tchum, which reminds us the next Mishnah draws halachic distinction between a Gecheles and a Shelheves, a burning coal and a flame, given that a Shelheves is not a tangible object. The nafkaminas are regarding a tchum, me'iwa, hutsa, and that which belongs to Avodah Zarah. So the mailman carrying a special delivery of flames beyond the tchum almost fell into an oly bavel, a watering hole, where someone was drawing water on behalf of his friend, which reminds us we have a malchus, Rav and Shmuel, regarding someone who draws water from one of the water holes of the oly bavel on behalf of his friend. Rav says it falls to the tchum of the one it was drawn for, and Shmuel says it belongs to the one who drew it. The Gemara concludes that the Melchokas is based on another Melchokas regarding finding a Metziah, a lost object, with intent that another should acquire ownership of it. So the mailman carrying a special delivery of flames beyond the Tchum almost fell into an oly bavel watering hole, where someone was drawing water on behalf of his friend, who was upset because he was told that his tchum didn't reach his produce back in his hometown. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mishe Peros Beir Acheres, if one's produce was in another town, and the people of that town place an Erev Tchumi in order to bring some of the produce to him, they may not bring the produce.
Daf Mem. So the Simmer Daf Mem is a pool. So here goes.
After depositing his fruit in a designated corner by the guardian's pool, that must mean we're in Daf Mem, Mayim. After depositing his fruit in a designated corner by the guardian's pool, which reminds us we have a Malchus Rav Shmuel regarding one who deposits produce with a friend for safekeeping. Rav holds the produce is Karagli Misha Hifkidolo. The tchum of the deposit is like that of the feet of the one to whom it was entrusted, versus Shmuel holds Karagli Amavki. The tchum is according to the feet of the depositor. In a case in which the guardian assigned the depositor a specific corner in the guardian's house for storing the deposited produce, he is not the legal guardian of the produce, but the owner is. So after depositing his fruit in a designated corner by the guardian's pool, he wisely had his domesticated cow take a drink of water before the shechita. Which reminds them, the reason the Mishnah says that one may water domesticated animals and shech them, when it's obvious that one may give water to his animal on Yantiv, is to inform us in passing of another matter, that one should first water his animal and then shech it, because of the adhesion of the hide to the animal. If one waters his animal before the shechita, it then becomes easier to skin later. So after depositing his fruit in a designated corner by the guardian's pool, he wisely had his domesticated cow take a drink of water before the shechita, while his range animals grazed happily in the pasture, since they were considered muksa when it came to shechita. Which reminds us of the Gemara's final discussion regarding what Rebbe holds regarding the muksa status of range animals, when it seems that he subscribes to Rebbe Shimon's narrow view of muksa law. Three answers are given.
Daf base, so the simmer daf base is a bais, is a house. So here goes.
The royal house, that must be on Daf Beis. The royal house where a king sat on his throne as the shtar was being signed according to the year of his reign in the month of Nisan, which reminds us the opening Mishnah teaches that the first of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah from Malachim, which Rav Chisla said is needed with respect to shtaros for documents. It was taught in the Mishnah, shtar echov v'amukdamim psulim, mukharim b'ksherim, predated debt documents are pasul, while post-dated ones are kosher. If the loan document is predated, the lender could use it to unlawfully collect properties that the borrower sold before the actual date of the loan, but after the date recorded in the document. Since shtaros are commonly dated using the year of the king's reign, it's necessary to have a standardized method of reckoning that year to determine whether a particular document is predated or post-dated. So the royal house where a king sat on his throne as the shtar was being signed, according to the year of his reign in the month of Nisan, featured a massive mural depicting the history of Klal Yisrael from Yetzias Yisrael, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan said, from where do we know that we count the years of kings only from Nisan? Makish Malkus Shlomo with Yetzias Yisrael. The pasuk compares the reign of Shlomo to Yetzias Yisrael with respect to counting the years. Ma Yetzias Yisrael min Nisan, ab Malkus Shlomo min Nisan. Therefore, just as the years from Yetzias Yisrael are counted from Nisan, so too the years of the reign of Shlomo are counted from Nisan. So, the royal house where a king sat on his throne as the shtar was being signed, according to the year of his reign in the month of Nisan, featured a massive mural depicting the history of Klal Yisrael, from Yetzias Yisrael all the way to the death of Aaron. Which reminds the Gemara how we know we count the years from Yetzias Yisrael from Nisan, perhaps we count them from Tishrei. And answers that one should not consider that possibility, since, when referring to Aaron's death that took place in Av, the Torah describes it as occurring in the 40th year from the Exodus, and referring to the beginning of Moshe's speech in the beginning of Chumash Dvarim, which was said 5 months later, with Tishrei in between, the Torah also describes it as occurring in the 40th year. Makal the Rosh Hashanah lav Tishrei. It is evident that the Rosh Hashanah with respect to Yetzias Yisrael is not Tishrei.
Daf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Gimel is a Gamal, a camel. So here goes.
The camels, camels. That must be more in Daf Gimel, Gamal. The camels competing in the great annual camel race, taking place in the second month in the second, which reminds the Gemara brings a different source to show that the years of the king's reign are counted from Nisan. Mohazer said it's derived from V'yachol Ivnos Bechodesh Hasheni B'Sheni B'Shnas Arba L'Malchuso. He, referring to Shlomo Melech, began to build the base of Mikdash in the second month, which is Iyar, in the second, in the fourth year of his reign. What does the pasuk mean by repeating in the second? Lo Sheni L'Yerach Shemonim Bo L'Malchuso. Does it not mean the second month after the month from which the king's reign is counted? That is, Iyar is the second month of the king's reign, which begins in Nisan. We see from here that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings. So, the camels competing in the great annual camel race taking place in the second month in the second race past the non-Jewish king whose reign was counted in Tishrei, Which reminds us, with regard to the Mishnah's ruling that Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah for kings, Rav Chisda said, Rosh Hashanah l'malchi Yisrael, v'malchi umas ha'olam mitishe menina. They taught this ruling only with respect to kings of Yisrael, but with respect to the kings of the other nations of the world, we count their reigns from Tishrei, since, in referring to an incident with Nehemiah that took place in Kislev, the Pasuk describes it as occurring in the 20th year, and referring to an incident that took place later, in Nisan, the Pasuk also describes it as occurring in the 20th year, Makal the Rosh Hashanah, Lav Nisanu. Evidently, the Rosh Hashanah with respect to the king's reign is not Nisan, and once we know it's not Nisan, it stands to reason that it begins in Tishrei, which marks the new year in many other contexts. So the camels competing in the great annual camel race, taking place in the second month, in the second, race past a non-Jewish king, whose reign was counted in Tishrei, and who was beginning to look sour as he realized he was about to lose this massive bet. Which reminds us, when Rav Yosef challenged Rav Chisda's ruling that the reign of non-Jewish kings is reckoned from Tishrei, based on Psukim referring to Daryavesh's reign, where Tishrei did not trigger the next year count of his reign, Rabbi Yitzchak answered, Koresh mel kasher ayet lafichach manu lo kamalchi Yisrael. Koresh, referring to Daryavesh, was a virtuous king, therefore they reckon his reign as they would for kings of Israel, from Nisan. When later Psukim are brought, they demonstrate that Nisan did not trigger the next year of his reign, Rabbi Yitzchak answered that it was not a kasha, kadim kodem shehichmitz, here in the parsha about the resumption of the temple's construction, which reckons Daryavesh's second year as beginning in Nisan, the reference is the period before he soured, kanul achur shehichmitz, whereas here in the parsha which does not reckon his seventh year as beginning in Nisan, the reference is to the period after he soured. And then we're on the next stop, we'll discuss how Daryavesh soured. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman. Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.